Talk Property with Ian Collins.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Talk Property. Coming up on this episode,
you know, what horse is the government backing? Spending a lot of money only for a change of direction would be absolutely catastrophic.
More about that later. Plus this.
That's put the cat amongst the pigeons in terms of confidence in the sector and how landlords might operate going forwards.
And look what's back.
The industry awards are back, where everyone can get together and celebrate the hard work that goes into what every company does.
It's all on the way on the UK's number one property podcast.
Talk Property with Ian Collins. Brought to you by Property Notify, the UK's leading source of property sector news.
And before we speak to our guest today, let's chat with Tracy Hanbury, who is, of course, the co-founder and director of the National Landlord Investment Show. They are the sponsors of this episode. Hi to you, Tracy.
Hi, Ian.
Nice to have you with us. And listen, you guys, I mean, you never really stop. You've got almost an all-round year operation now. Something that started, you know, on a smaller scale has now got very big.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's almost 10 years in the making now, and the next London show, which is fast approaching the 5th of July, will actually be our 74th show since inception. Lots going on, always lots of other sort of, you know, everything else that we're working on, different campaigns that we run. So, yeah, it's always never a dull moment at the Landlord Investment Show office.
I was going to say, yeah, never. And, of course, you go all over the country with this, but, I mean, the London show is kind of where it all began. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we actually, you know, we're lucky enough to have Ben Beadle today, chief executive from the NRLA. And Ben will actually know our history goes back about 10 years ago. And that was our first ever show, which was actually in Croydon. So since then, we do sort of 3 national shows in London. We kind of started as a small road show that went around the country initially. And then we kind of, after a few years, sort of realised that, you know what, we actually need to make the shows bigger, more national, and then actually target the sort of key vital areas within the country. So London is definitely, you know, Old Billingsgate is definitely our sort of showstopper, if you like.
It's like a spiritual home, right?
Yeah, no, it is. It is, absolutely. And it's always a pleasure. But, you know, in addition to those, we also have our Birmingham show that we had a couple of weeks ago. We still go to Manchester. Yeah. We go to Cardiff. So, yeah, we're sort of pretty much sort of dotted around the country still. But I say, you know, 3 shows in London per year is quite a hefty thing to pull off. And, we love it. Absolutely love it.
Superb. And Andrew Neil, of course, is one of the faces people will see hosting debates and the like at the show.
Yeah, no, he is indeed. So we've been lucky enough to work with Andrew now, I think, my goodness me, maybe sort of 4 years. Obviously, we had 4 or 5 years, but obviously we had COVID slap bang in the middle of everything, which as you know, for a lot of companies, but obviously for our business was extremely difficult with COVID, because obviously everything was shut down and events was absolutely, you know, just gone overnight, weren't they? But, you know, Andrew's a great addition to host our sort of panel debate in the morning, which sort of kicks off the day. And he's always, you know, he's always great on the stage and causes a little bit of controversy, which is always good. And we're really, you know, really pleased to have him on board with us.
Fantastic. And we're going to speak more at the end of the podcast as well. But a quick mention as well about the Landlord Investor magazine, which I think next edition is out soon too.
Yeah, indeed. So sort of Landlord Investor magazine, I think that's sort of 8-9 years in the running. The next issue, which is, it's a bi-monthly magazine and it's our 67th edition. And that will be actually the June and July issue, which actually covers around sort of 22 articles in this bumper issue, which obviously it's, you know, given out the show, it's available online for people to download that subscribe to us. And it actually covers a wealth of knowledge. But yeah, I think this actual issue is the biggest one that we've had to date. So looking forward to lots of really, really good content in there.
Tracy, we'll speak to you in just a little bit.
Great. Thank you, Ian.
Speak to you then.
Talk Property with Ian Collins.
So let's meet our main guest today. He's Ben Beadle, Chief Executive of the National Residential Landlords Association. Ben, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. How's life?
It's all good at this end. I think for the uninitiated, and Lord knows where they have been if they don't know about you guys, but just give us an overview of the NRLA.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. We're a membership organisation that represents the interests of landlords. Our primary raison d'etre is to make sure that we convey our members' thoughts to power about, you know, property and associated things. But we also provide services, you know, training, advice, documents, forms, all of that sort of jazz, so that we can help landlords get better at what they do and support them in their day-to-day landlording.
Yeah, and man, do people need that more these days, because I'm kind of new to finding out more and more about this, Ben, but the legislation, the rules, the regulations that now surround what once upon a time was, you know, somebody inherited a house or something, they let it out to their mate Jim down the road, and that was it, job done. Now, you've got to be aware that there are regulations and there are certain things in place that need to absolutely be there before you can really function.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, it's a business. It has to be done properly. And you're right. You know, the sector has changed significantly in the past 20 years. 168 pieces of regulation that are out there at the moment that landlords have to comply with. And, you know, it's easy to get these things wrong. So it's really important that as an association, we, you know, work with landlords and other sorts of bodies to make sure that the environment that we're operating in is a fair one. It's going in the right sort of direction, but critically that we help landlords get their day-to-day stuff right. And, you know, we handle 2,500 calls a week from landlords who are, you know, asking advice on tenancy agreements, managing their tenants and homes and that sort of stuff. It's not for the faint-hearted, that's
yeah,
for sure.
I was going to say, I mean, let's just pick into a couple of those areas. I mean, Section 21 is a biggie, right?
Indeed. I mean,
can you explain, Ben, what, for those who don't, I know most people listening to this will be absolutely aware, but for somebody who's happened upon this podcast, just explain what Section 21 is and what is happening or what the government are planning.
Yeah, so Section 21 is a section of the 1988 Housing Act, and essentially it allows a landlord to bring a tenancy to a close, either a fixed term or a periodic, without giving a reason. So you might enter into a 12-month contract. Most people will move on by themselves, but the landlord can give a notice to say at the end of that 12-month contract, I'd like my property back, please. Now, this has become an issue because of the supply issues that we have in the sector, and also, i.e. lack of supply, and also that we are housing many, many more people in the private rented sector than the PRS was ever designed to accommodate.
Yeah.
And so we find ourselves in the position now of the PRS not just being students and, you know, working friends and families, but bigger families, older people, people claiming benefits and universal credit that really need to be able to put down roots and don't want to move on in a way that was seen as an advantage for the PRS, that sort of mobility and moving around and, you know, six months here, 12 months there. And essentially, government have now committed to abolishing Section 21. And that's, you know, put the cat amongst the pigeons in terms of confidence in the sector and how landlords might operate going forwards.
Yeah. And that, of course, is just one element that you're dealing with. And I guess the other big one, certainly on my radio show that comes up when we do kind of related issues around this, is that of energy efficiency, the housing health and safety rating system, all that goes with that. That's huge right now.
It is huge. And we're expecting an announcement on energy in the next couple of weeks or so. What the government have said is that the direction of travel is for more energy efficient homes. So you can't let a property now if it's an F or a G rating on the energy performance certificate. They want to increase that to a C. And it's muted or proposed that should be from 2025 for new tenancies and 2028 from existing tenancies. What they're also planning to do is to say that if you can't get up to that level, then you have to spend at least £10,000 on making improvements before any form of exemption can be considered. And, you know, this, frankly, I'm sure we'll get on to reform in a little bit, but Section 21, part of that overall reform package.
Yeah.
The reform package on that front, I think landlords can deal with. They can adapt. And we know that landlords are very agile, creatures. They will adapt and get on with it. They might moan, but they get on with it. I think energy is a bit different, Ian, because if you've got even a modest portfolio that's poorly performing, then this is going to potentially cost you quite a lot of money. Now, it's worth me saying that this hasn't been confirmed yet. This is something that the government have said this is likely to be their preferred option. But we are expecting, as I say, in the next couple of weeks or so, confirmation about what that will look like. So I think, that's going to be quite difficult for landlords because, it's going to require potentially a significant amount of expenditure. And despite all of the views and nonsense to the contrary, we're not talking property tycoons when we're talking about landlords. We're talking actually quite modest incomes of typically less than £5,000 a year. Now, if you're going to be asked to, pay over 2 years of your revenue, that's going to be a tall order for a lot of people.
Yeah. And even things like, the heat pump that comes up time and time again, which it's interesting. I was talking to an environmental group that actually have no faith in heat pumps. It's almost as if somebody's come along and gone, there's this thing called a heat pump. And it sounds on the face of it that this is going to be, save the world from melting or something.
And yet when you've
got environmental groups who ordinarily would agitate for lots of improvements saying, actually, this is really the wrong way to do it. And it's very expensive.
Indeed. And, the other thing to consider on this is, government seems to be a fan of heat pumps, but we have an energy crisis at the moment, cost of living crisis. Not only are heat pumps quite expensive still to purchase, they're also more expensive to run. And ultimately, it's the tenants that pay the bills in the property. So, we really want to see some clarity in about, what horse is the government backing, and what is the long-term trajectory for energy? Because I don't want to advise landlords to do anything at the moment, frankly,
sure,
until the government have confirmed some of these things. Because, you're spending a lot of money only for a change of direction would be absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah. And when you have landlords who are saying, actually, maybe I need to think again now. And you mentioned, people even with a small portfolio will be thinking, hang on, if you've had as you rightly say, Ben, if you've had maybe not the best couple of years, which many landlords have had, clearly a turbulent time through COVID.
Indeed.
For a variety of reasons, then you're just trying to get your house back in order, quite literally. And then something like this comes along, which, some people will fear it could wipe them out.
Yeah, and this will be, for me, this is just a straightforward business decision about, is it worth me staying in the sector?
Yeah. Simple as that.
I mean, it really is as simple as that. Now, we know that the government have got a downer on landlords and the private rented sector. It's a perfectly legitimate strategy to promote one sector over the other, right? But the difficulty at the moment is we've got a downer on the PRS, but we don't seem to have a strategy about, again, which horse is being backed. We don't have a big house building campaign for social housing, and we don't actually have huge numbers of homes being built on the build to rent sector, which I know the government is quite keen on. So people have got to go somewhere, and we're already seeing at present, real issues about, people fighting, but competing over rental property in a way that we just haven't seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. Just give us an overview as well. Another point, the Decent Homes Standards. What's this all about? Tell us more on that.
So the Decent Homes Standard is something that currently applies in the social sector. It was introduced, this document, I think in 2006. And for the past year, it's been subject to an update. And in simple terms, it's a framework to which all social housing providers must meet in terms of condition of property. But it only applies to the social housing sector. Mr. Gove announced earlier this year, the Secretary of State for Housing, that there would be a decent homes standard right the way across rented housing, which isn't a bad idea. Who wants to live in a damp, unsafe home? Nobody, and nobody should. We should have very high standards when it comes to this. But the problem, the slight issue with the decent homes standard in its current form is it's got some rather arbitrary things in it that say that, you know, after X number of years, you need to change the bathroom or you need to change the kitchen. If they're unsafe, I can see that you would need to change them. But just because it's, you know, avocado green, if it's still perfectly functional, A, it might come back into fashion. You never know. We've seen that happen. But B, I'm not sure that with all of the other things that are expected of property owners, that that is the wisest thing to do. So we are working really, really hard and actually have presented our own version of the Decent Homes Standard to government that basically takes all of the things that are out there at the moment and allows a good landlord to prove via a property passport that they've got a gas safety, that they've got an electrical safety check, they've got an EPC, there are no category one hazards. They've got a HMO license if that's what they need. So it takes already, you know, plenty of things that are out there. It doesn't bring anything new in, but it says it allows the landlord to kind of package that together and show that to the punter to say that at the point of kind of viewing it on Rightmove or Zoopla, they know that this home meets with a certain standard in a really easy way. We think that that's a sensible thing to do. And also bearing in mind that 79% of the private rented sector stock already complies with the decent home standard for the social sector at the moment. So we're talking about 21% of the stock, a fifth of the stock that needs to be brought up to speed. So we're certainly not against good quality homes. On the contrary, we want good quality, safe homes. Why wouldn't we?
But most already are, is the point.
Most already are. And I really don't want government to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I cannot see the point of ripping, you know, bathrooms and kitchens and things like that out just because they're a bit old.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it would be something like there's a picture and photo evidence of a, you know, top of the range, beautiful brand spanking new kitchen. And in 3 years' time, 4 or 5 years' time, say, the kitchen still looks pretty much as it did. It looks lovely. But by dint of the 5 years, somebody might say, based on this current proposal, oh, you've got to change that now.
Yes.
So literally in ripping out a cupboard to replace it with a cupboard that looks like the one you've just replaced it with.
Basically, yes. Yeah. And we think that needs not terribly sensible, I think, is the polite way of getting that
there
across.
There are other ways to go. Can I just ask as well, Ben, what is wrong with avocado green? I'm sorry.
Nothing. I'm wearing a lovely avocado green shirt today.
Yes, I have my entire house wallpapered in that colour. Some people call it strange and odd. I think it's rather attractive, frankly. And just give us an overview, if you would. We'll bring Tracy back in a second, but just give us an overview of what you think. You know, a lot of landlords, accidental landlords, some people just stumble across being a landlord, of course, don't they? They, you know, I mentioned earlier, they inherit a house or they just have one, et cetera, and suddenly are finding themselves with all of this legislation. And if you're not using a letting agency, then, you know, good luck with the Google search on finding out what you have to adhere to. So what would you say, Ben, primarily that landlords should be doing first, just to keep, you know, if not necessarily specifically, but just to keep on top of this sort of the mounting bureaucracy around what should be a fairly simple, serious, but simple process of renting out a house?
Indeed. Well, 94% of landlords are individuals. Half of them typically have one or two properties. That's the composition of our sector. Roughly about half of landlords use an agent. But even if you're not using an agent, you need to keep up with all of these things that are going on. And that's why I think, you know, Tracy and Steve's show is really, really important to kind of keep up to date with what's going on. Meet some really, really great suppliers that can help you in your day-to-day landlording, because whether you're using an agent or not, ultimately it's the landlord that carries the can in terms of liability. Sure. So you could have a really good agent, but, you know, they forget to register the deposit or they do it late where you're, you know, you're
it's
then three times the
yours.
Deposit.
Yeah.
But exactly. In law, it's ultimately you that's responsible. You've appointed the agent to do something on your behalf. If they cock it up, then, you know, you carry the liability. So, and I think, you know, in this litigious world, you know, we have to have our wits about us. You know, I know there's a lot of accidental landlords out there, but I'm afraid ignorance ignorance is just no longer an excuse. You know, we've got to make sure that we're doing the right sorts of things, and keep up to date with the ever-changing world. Obviously, I'd love everybody to join us, but that would be the obvious solution.
Well, that's the obvious solution to life, isn't it, frankly?
Indeed,
it's
exactly.
As simple as that. What is, I mean, just as kind of a layman's question here, what kind of percentage do letting agencies take these? I know it largely depends on the kind of service you want, so it will differ. Is there a ballpark figure that letting agencies are meant to be taking or do take?
Well, in my I'm in London, Ian, so this may not be representative from right the way across the UK, and I do a mix of finding my own talents and engaging agents. But at a management level, you'd probably expect to pay somewhere, you know, in the region of 15% of the monthly rent, and an intro level, you'd probably pay somewhere between 5% and 8%. On a tenant find, but all of those things are tax deductible, and it really depends about, you know, how much hassle that you want as a landlord and how much you value your time. You know, time is precious, and we know that a lot of landlords don't do this for a living. You know, they do it to supplement their pension or earnings and things like that. So if you're doing a day job and managing a small portfolio, it's easy to see how, you know, how things could slip through the net. But you know, that I'm afraid is no excuse, and we do need to make sure that we do the right things.
We were talking about on the radio today about the Boris Johnson proposal for buy-to-let and all of this. It was widely kind of ridiculed by many people for fairly obvious reasons, frankly.
This is rubbish.
Let's get the taxpayer to pay other people's mortgages. What could go wrong? Nonetheless, I mean, that aside, you know, there was a couple of people who swallowed the dictionary of stereotypes who were calling and going, but all landlords are all really rich, right? They're all making loads of money and we shouldn't have sympathy. And, you know, a couple of people called in on the back of that and said, look, you know, I'm a landlord, I have one property, I also have a mortgage as well, and actually my profit is very small because I've got to pay the mortgage. My rent is covering it. I've got a couple of hundred quid at the end of the month. So, you know, when you start throwing in, just to go back to legislation and this kind of almost urban myth, which I think some people in governments over the years have been guilty of, that everybody is sort of royally laying on a chaise lounge, you know, running baths from gold-plated taps because they happen to own a house.
And it's funny, I don't know at what point we kind of became so anti, you know, almost anti-success in a way.
Agreed.
In this country, you know, there is no shame in being a landlord. There is no shame in owning more than one property.
Correct.
Providing you treat your tenants right, you know, providing you your house is safe, legal, and secure, and you provide a good service. I seriously don't understand why we've got such a down on it. 20% of homes in this country are in the private rented sector. So, you know, government have spent the last few years using the private rented sector to pick up where they failed on social housing.
Well, I was going to say they'd be stuffed without it, wouldn't they? I mean, that would be extraordinary. If everybody stopped being a landlord, the government would maybe start changing some of this legislation.
Well, indeed. And I think, you know, but there is no alternative, Ian, at the moment, because, you know, the government doesn't say that they hate landlords, but you've only got to look at some of the stuff that they put out and say in terms of policy to make it, you know, very clear that they're not flavour of the month, right? But if you look at the proposals that have come out today, the reason why we're in this mess is because of, you know, selling off council houses of yesteryear and still doing that at a cut price, but not replacing that stock. And so, you know, the idea that you would then extend that to, you know, housing association stock is just madness to me, because there's no clear plan to replace those homes. I think it's great that people get on the ladder in terms of being able to own their own house. I think, you know, I'd wanted to do that from a very young age, and I'm lucky that I have managed to do that. So I think it's great that we're aspirational in terms of home ownership. But what the government is failing to do is to recognise that, you know, we're in a housing crisis now. You know, people can't find a place to rent, let alone a bloody place to buy. So we need to make sure that we've got the right number of homes available before we start flogging them off and reducing the stock even further.
Great time to bring Tracy back in with us. And I guess, Tracy, when you consider the everything we've just been talking about with Ben there, I mean, it will bring, I guess, a very different look to the shows that you are putting on in terms of exhibitors and debates than you would have had a decade ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ben's raised some great issues and covers some absolutely, you know, great points of what landlords are actually facing today. And it is a very different landscape to absolutely what it was 10 years ago. And I think what the show does, and obviously working sort of closely, we like to work closely with like the NRLA, because that association is there to, like we are, to actually help landlords, to actually be a platform of education, to be a platform of networking, to be a platform of being informed. And actually, you know, landlords come to our shows like they, you know, they're members of the NRLA because they want the information. They need to know how to manage their portfolios. As Ben said, there's plenty of accidental landlords in this country. There's people that are running a portfolio, running a day job, you know, running a family, and there's nothing easy about any of it. So I think, you know, like the NRLA and like our shows, people can come to us. They can go and see lots of different seminars. In fact, Ben's actually hosting a seminar on the 5th of July at Old Billingsgate at 3:15. And the topic is, will landlords be reformed out of the sector?
Yeah.
So, you know, people, we like to think that we provide a huge amount of information, and people that come to our shows and are actually members, they're actually making an effort to go out there and get as much information and make the right decisions, not only just for themselves, but obviously, you know, for their tenants, to make sure that they're doing everything that they possibly can. So I think it's really, really important that all this information is shared. And yeah, I think that's both what the NRLA do, and I think that's what we do, you know, as a show, that people can come to us as well and meet a lot of people that can help them on their day-to-day journey.
Yeah, there's a real synergy there, Ben, right?
There is. I mean, we're good pals, and we like attending the shows, and we like to make sure that our members attend those shows as well, because frankly, a better informed landlord is good for everybody. That's the reality. It's good for tenants. It's good for the impression of our sector. You know, it's easier to help those individuals. So, there's so much to be garnered from this sort of stuff.
There's another element I was going to bring in, Tracy, as well, to what you're doing this year. The industry awards are coming back.
Yes.
What's this all about?
Yes, they are.
And has one of them got Ben's name on? That's what we want to know.
Well, Ben can be my drinking partner on the night, so that'll be all good. So, but no, the industry awards are back, and we actually, this will be our third time. And obviously, as I said, COVID for the last 2 years sort of stopped that in its tracks. But we're really, really excited. The List Awards are back on the 17th of November. It's a lovely event that actually celebrates private rented sector, celebrates landlords, celebrates property professionals within the industry. It's a great night, you know, where we normally, it's around sort of 500 people that attend. We have around 20 judges from the industry, and we have some great entertainment. There's actually a lot of razzmatazz this year, and it's a lovely end to the year, actually, where everyone can get together and celebrate, you know, or, you know, enjoy actually the hard work that goes into what every company does. Yeah. So we're really, really pleased to announce that that's back on the 17th of November, and that's at the Grosvenor House Hotel, Park Lane. It's black tie. It's a lovely evening. And as I say, you know, it's a great, great way to actually celebrate all the hard work that does go into our industry and into our sector.
Fantastic. You will be there, Ben, right?
Oh, I'll be propping up the bar. Don't worry about that.
Fantastic. Ben, just tell everybody where they can find out a little bit more about what you guys do. Again, I said at the beginning, most people listening to this will be aware, but it's always worth throwing it out there.
Thank you. Yeah, nrla.org.uk, our website, Ian, you can sign up there. You can also, if you're feeling a bit tight and not wishing to join at this particular moment, there's a few freebie things on there and on social channels as well, Facebook and Twitter. Very, very keen to get people's views about our campaigning work. And on the website, you know, you can access, write to your MP and tell them what you're thinking about reform, because if we don't start to let our local MPs know about the direction of travel, then people won't know about it. And individual voices are just as valuable as an organisational voice. So get involved, nrla.org.uk.
Fantastic. And Tracy, where can people find out more about you guys?
Yeah, sure. So obviously to register for the 5th of July show, which is a national show, covers every element of the UK, they can go to our website, which is landlordinvestmentshow.co.uk. You can register to attend the events free of charge, completely free. So just register and we'll see you on the day. The doors open at 9:30 for Old Billingsgate. And actually just got around, we've got a little bit of a summer party this year. Old Billingsgate, which is a spectacular venue right on the River Thames. We're having a little bit of a summer soiree where we sort of start at about 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. So, it'll be maybe an aspect of Wimbledon, enjoying London's calling and just a little thank you from us to everyone that kind of attends, our exhibitors, our sponsors, to come along obviously on the day from 9:30, but if they want to stay on and have some pims and strawberries and cream, they'll be very welcome on the terrace as well.
Give us your website address again, Tracy.
So it's landlordinvestmentshow.co.uk.
Fantastic. And we will speak very soon. Tracy, thank you. Ben, thank you.
A great pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. And a reminder to make sure you follow this podcast from your podcast provider. That way you get each new episode automatically. If you are listening to this from another place and want to download, then get along to Spotify or Apple and you can do it there. That's Talk Property, one word. Just search Talk Property, one word. And we'll see you on episode 3 very soon.
Talk Property with Ian Collins. Brought to you by Property Notify, the UK's leading source of property sector news.